Go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Knights of Nerds Do podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with...
Jellicoe Sam.
And Jellicoe Sean.
And on the Skype hotline, we have...
Not a cat, John.
You mean Jellicoe, so, not a cat, John?
We're getting hints of the chaos that's going to ensue already.
Yeah, you have no idea.
So, Sam may have been drinking for a while.
Yeah, did you guys have a late Super Bowl night?
No.
No? Well, did you guys have a late day or an early start today?
Yeah.
Did you guys work today?
Yeah.
Did you guys go out today?
No.
Did you watch something today?
Yes.
Okay.
Something that may need to involve alcohol.
We'll get into this later.
We will get into it later.
On tonight's docket, what we're going to do is whatever chaos they're bringing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're also going to talk about a few trailers that came out recently within the past week. So Fast and Furious 9. Spiral, Book of Saw.
Yep.
And there's clips from footage, not really a trailer.
Right.
There's Disney.
Well, it's a trailer of sorts.
Yeah, it's a here's what's coming type thing.
Yeah, it's probably the best example of a teaser trailer.
Yes, this is a teaser, Hollywood.
It is definitely teasing us.
So this is the, we're talking about the Marvel, or the Disney Plus Marvel TV shows, WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. And
a little bit of Loki.
Yeah. Tiny bit of Loki. So then there's also leaked footage from the Star Wars world, because we can't stop going there.
No,
because
we have
reason.
To keep talking about Star Wars, even though it should die.
Well, there's leaked footage that came out this past week. And we can discuss probably just a little bit on that one.
Easily.
John and I are going to do a little bit of American Factory, which is an Oscar-nominated documentary.
Yeah.
And what is it? Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, we'll talk a little Jojo.
Yeah, you can talk
Why don't we do that? Why don't we start off with the Oscar? No, we'll stay away from Oscars for now.
Yeah.
Let's start off at the top of the list. Super Bowl teaser trailers for Marvel's WandaVision and all the Disney Plus shows Hawkeye. Arrow is the first thing that pops up on Netflix now, so it's Hawkeye. We're not they put that on pause anyway. So we got first footage from there.
From those
shows. And I cannot wait for WandaVision.
WandaVision seems like we're going to be like, oh yeah, it's a crazy, like, we're jumping decade sitcom, but also it seems like it might be a little fucked up.
Yep. It's going to be very messed up, because if they're even leaning towards or having a little bit of the House of M, is it House of M? Yeah, House of M storyline, then it's just going to be chaos.
Yeah.
And we might get something good out of it in the end. It
apparently leads into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
Yep.
So. Which, with a name like Multiverse of Madness, I'm assuming this has a happy ending.
It's all going to be sunshine and lollipops.
Yes.
Well, for a lot of fans, it probably will be a happy ending. Not for Wanda Maximoff, but...
Yeah.
But everybody else, because we get a whole bunch of stuff coming into the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
If they go that way. Cannot wait. A lot of stuff in this trailer, teaser, whenever you break it down. She is pregnant in one of them. In one of the clips, she looks like she has the baby bump, so it looks like she's at least pregnant with Vision's child.
Maybe, unless it's all a figment of her imagination.
There's two pacifiers, so there's two kids.
Yeah.
And you're right. It very well could be a figment of her imagination, because the last time we see Vision,
he dead.
He no longer exists.
He dead.
Yep, he gone. Bye-bye. So, I can't wait for this. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be so nuts and so out there, and I think if you get a crazy enough director for Doctor Strange 2, I think it's just going to be one awesome ride.
And that's probably just lost the director, so...
They still...
It was like a couple months ago
that they lost the director. I don't think they finished writing yet, did they?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know where they... I believe it's still pre-production, but like... More this like, guy was the I forget who they had directing it, but he was like teasing stuff on Twitter.
He was the guy who directed the first one.
Okay, yeah. So he was very excited about it, and I guess it all fell apart, like creative differences, like always.
I'm thinking there might be, if this guy did the first one, he would want the story centered around Doctor Strange, where I think is the overall big picture for the MCU. I think it's more of a Wanda.
Yeah, maybe.
Storyline. I think it's more of a Scarlet Witch movie than it is a Doctor Strange movie. So
really,
if they're trying to set up mutants, yes. I think it's at the big picture. I think it should have been a Scarlet Witch movie. Instead, I think the director is trying to make it a Doctor Strange movie.
Like I know all the focus is on WandaVision, and I agree with that, but. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier stuff, that also intrigued me. Like, it looks like we're getting a good old-fashioned spy thriller with that.
Yeah.
I was getting a good vibe from that. Granted, it was just, like, two clips, but still.
I mean, you saw Baron Zemo in there. Yeah. There was that weird football game where
Captain America came out. He's like the... Patriot, what is it called?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Agent USA or something like that?
U.S. Agent.
U.S. Agent, yeah. Yes. I think that's...
Which is just such, like, the... Like, I had to keep reading. I was like, wait, but what's his name?
Yeah.
Some of these are just...
Well, there's no more... Tough. Well, they'll explain it. There's no more Captain America in the world, so they're trying
U.S. to Agent takes over in the comics for Captain America after Captain America dies.
Fill the spot. Yes. Until it's filled by...
Yeah.
Sam, or whoever. We don't know, because it could still technically be Winter Soldier. We just don't know.
Right.
But
we're getting the Winter Soldier, getting Zemo, got Sebastian Stan and Nicholas Brühl in the same thing again. Mm-hmm. So just to confirm, they're not the same person.
You're right, they do look very similar.
And I feel like they're both German, and they're both kind of in similar movies. And
well, Sebastian's Romanian.
Oh, okay.
So there's a clear difference there.
Doesn't Sebastian Stan sound German, though? Am I crazy?
No, definitely. That does sound German.
Maybe I just assumed he was German because I was confusing him with the other guy.
Oh, boy.
Maybe.
I'm sure there's probably truth in that. If I could go back to WandaVision for a second.
Go ahead.
I got to say, some interesting costumes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like a lot of like period costumes, yeah, but also you had like a lot of like the comics costumes.
Yeah, you got to see the Wanda comic costume.
Yeah,
which was awesome. Right,
which I've done extensive research into. And I'll just leave it at that.
I was going to say, keep talking, John.
Well, that's Stan Lee, I guess, said it best. He's will people stop reading comics? And he goes, well, if they keep drawing them with, the costumes that they're wearing now, then yes. And Scarlet Witch is one of those.
Yeah.
For sure. We also saw 3 seconds of Loki.
Yeah.
So that was a thing.
Which, second time around, I realized he actually said something.
Yes.
I did not realize the first
time. Was it, I'll burn this place to the ground?
Yeah.
So.
Which tells us everything.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want to see where that goes.
It seems like he's in jail.
Yeah.
And he's not happy.
No, I guess. Yeah, I guess. But
maybe it's time jail. I don't know.
Hey, but I'm wondering if they're going to do space, or if they're going to be Earth, or... Who knows? But I'm curious what they're going to do with it, because I can't imagine they have a huge budget to do a lot of space adventures with Loki.
I have no idea this is
Disney. I don't know, man. Some of these budgets are like $150 million.
Plus, we already got space adventures with Mando.
Yeah.
True.
So, it's like, these are all going to be flagships for Disney.
Yeah.
they're really trying to dip, if they're really trying to sell Disney Plus, they're going to spend the money on these things.
I guess.
Can I ask you guys a question? What are you more interested in the near term, the Marvel movies or the TV shows?
TV shows.
Right now, with what we have coming up, TV shows.
Yeah, same.
Because it's Black Widow's probably going to be good, but I don't see that blowing me out of the water.
It's going to be the formula.
Eternals.
Maybe. I don't know what to expect.
I don't know. I haven't seen.
I'm so afraid yet excited about.
Yeah,
that.
No.
Yeah, it's like it could be great, but I can also see them turning that into an Inhumans.
Yeah.
I don't know yet, but like these, especially these three they showed us. Yeah, I'm actually excited for these. These are characters I know. I know they can use these characters well. So.
Right.
Like, yeah, I can't wait for these. Plus,
I mean, I'm very interested to see what happens with the TV shows. Like, what do they do with them? And I mean, I just was so blown away by the quality of The Mandalorian. And granted, I know it is not entirely the same people working on it. Well, I mean, you know, it's not coming from the same
studio.
What am I looking for? Yeah, studio. Like, it's still Marvel and Disney or Star Wars are still sort of split. But, I think it seems like they're just putting a lot of resources behind it. I mean, like, the movies still are as well, but, I mean, you just see these previews. There's a lot of big-name people, I mean, in this, and there's even, you know, a bunch more. Like, I think Owen Wilson's in one of these.
Loki, right?
Was it Loki?
I think he joined Loki.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, right?
Whatever.
Wow.
Whatever. Wow. It could be a resurgence for some of these, you know, some of these characters.
Yeah, it's like, after for Mando, I'm like, okay, so they are willing to spend the money on this.
Yeah.
They are willing to, like, not just be like, eh, people will buy a Disney thing. They actually, you know, want to put good stuff out there. And granted, with like what Netflix is doing, they kind of have to, because Netflix has shown that they're willing to spend the money.
Yeah,
maybe not on like specific shows, but they're willing to just like throw a wide net.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, we've all had these feelings for these shows anyway from the start. So we were all excited about it.
Yep.
So let's move on to the other trailer, a new trailer that came out this week, Spiral Book of Saw.
Okay.
Starring Chris Rock and Sam Jackson.
Produced by Chris Rock.
Yes. Executive producer Chris Rock.
I believe I think he co-wrote it too.
Oh, all right.
If I remember that correctly. Which is very odd.
Coming from the series that will never die.
Yeah.
Ever.
But now it's They've different. Created a book now. They're after cops instead of normal people.
Oh, boy.
So here's what I'm going to say.
Yes.
I have never, well, outside the first movie, I enjoyed the first movie a lot.
I agree.
Everything after that, I hated.
I saw the second one and then went, well, this is going downhill.
Yeah,
and
I saw the second one and then everything I saw from the rest is like, yeah, it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
It's just torture porn. It's just torture porn. It's just torture
Who cares? But there's a twist at the end,
didn't,
Sam.
Didn't me and you watch the first Saw in college?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so. And then we went to the movies after The Hill and watched the sequel.
Damn, that's
I didn't go with you on that one. No. I didn't go with you.
But so this trailer actually had me, for the first time in a long time, excited for a Saw.
Are you kidding?
This looks like it's going to be more like the first one.
This looks more of the same.
I don't know how to feel.
I did not get a lot of torture porn from this. I got a lot more.
Because they didn't show any.
Mysterious thriller.
But like, yeah, I'm confused because it looks like a thriller, but it's got Chris Rock. But then it looks like, you know.
And Sam Jackson.
And Sam Jackson. And that whole opening sequence, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But then the rest of the trailer happened and I was like, oh, this might actually be good. And I'm just really confused about this, guys. I don't know how to feel.
You know what
their
mistake is going to be, though? Their mistake is going to be you need to have seen all 11 other Saw movies to understand some parts of this.
But, like, from what I've heard about, this is a reboot.
Yeah, it's kind of a reboot.
I think it's a soft reboot.
Yeah, it's a very soft reboot. So I know.
Which I'm okay
with. It's been so long since Jigsaw came out that we had to reboot it.
If we're going to get more Saw movies, I'd rather have this and just more of the same.
Didn't he die in like the second or third movie?
Yeah, I think like the third or fourth one he died, but then it was all about his apprentices.
Oh god.
And like the twists at the end, and I've seen so many videos about the Saw movies where it's just like the plot gets so like confused within itself, where the timeline gets kind of jumbled up and starts to not make sense. It's like, I'm okay with a soft reboot for the series because it needs to like new life, but it's going to be really hard to top that first one. The first one is phenomenal,
but I'm getting vibes of the first one on this.
I'm getting a little bit, but like, I'm still afraid that there's going to be like this comedic element behind it. That's just like, oh god,
I didn't get a comedic.
I didn't get it in the trailer.
No, though. I didn't either. But I feel like there's going to be something there.
Well, there's probably going to be a few little hits there, but it's not going to be.
But it's got Chris Rock, and it's produced by Chris Rock, and it's written by
again,
Chris Rock.
Again, it didn't see. I didn't see any of that in the trailer.
I mean, I don't know,
John. What are your feels?
This trailer just looked really weird, man. Like, if I'm gonna see a Saw movie, I guess it probably looks more like this. But, like, I don't know, it just seemed like, and I know this is sort of, duh, it's a Saw movie, but, like, it seemed like really, like, low budget.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
It looked gritty without actually, like, it felt gritty without looking gritty. It looked cheap and felt gritty, I guess.
Yeah, which, I don't know, could be appealing in its own way, but it just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just getting vibes from the first one, and I'm like, okay, if you want to bring this back to formula for the first time in 8 movies, more power to you, because I enjoyed the first one.
Do we have a release date on this, or?
Was it May?
It's May of this year.
I don't know if it bothers me that there's so many horror movies coming out in the first half of the year.
It makes no sense. Just release them in October.
No, well,
seriously.
But
January and February, you usually do get some horror movies in that time.
Yeah, that is true. But
because it's a slow, there's a slow months. They have
if it wasn't for Purge and Saw, there really wouldn't be any horror movies coming out in October, which is sad because Purge and Saw are like suck, and The Turning just came out.
It's a cash grab because it's all horror movies are always cheap to make.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
So this is just if they can bang out a 60-year and be done with it.
But I know so many people who are like, oh, let's go to a horror movie in October, and you're like, well, there's none in the theater though. Feel like they would make so much more money. I mean, the last one was Halloween, came out in October.
Well, that's I would be shocked if it didn't.
But like the Texas Chainsaw movies came out in February, the last three of them. I don't even know when the most recent one came out. That one flew so like low under the radar. But like, I don't understand.
You don't want to be super saturated with horror movies in October.
I agree.
You don't.
Yeah, especially if you know you just made a bad horror movie.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, it's not just that. Picture you have a average, or not an average, but a solid horror movie. You're going to make 100 million, 150 million US, maybe? Maybe. Mm. That's probably a good movie.
That's good, yeah. That's good.
You don't want to put that out as a studio when you have, say, Halloween came out.
Yeah.
In October, and you created Lights Out, for example, which did really well. You don't want to put that up against Halloween in October. Right. Number one, chances are people don't go see horror movies every weekend. They're not going to do that. You don't want to compete against that because that's essentially your cash grab.
Yeah.
For the year. That's your horror movie cash grab. Check that box. Why not do it in February? Why not do it in January? There's nothing else there.
Yeah, you're competing against nobody else.
Yeah.
So and like also, it's like, you know, you have a built-in audience who will go see horror movies.
Mm.
This is a genre movie. People, you know, there are a horror audience out there who the rest of the year are sitting there going, man, I could go see a horror movie.
Exactly. I can't fault a studio for not releasing it in October. It just makes financially it makes more sense to do it throughout the year.
I'm just saying every year there's like no horror movies in October. There should be other than like the Saw movies and the Purge movies, which once again they suck.
But at the same time, it's like what horror series do you have going on other than Saw?
You don't need a horror series.
You don't need a series. Lights Out. I think Lights Out was one of the best horror movies in the past couple of years.
It was pretty good.
I really enjoyed it, and that's not a series. It's just an original.
Let's be honest, right? The Turning. Okay. Sorry, Sam, that this keeps coming up. Everywhere Sam goes, he sees a trailer for The Turning.
I've been seeing that trailer for the past 6 months.
But so The Turning, we all knew was going to suck, right? Why would we go see that movie? We know it's going to suck. Now, if this came out in October, I'd be like, yeah, it's a horror movie in October. I'll go see it. I feel like it would do so much better then.
Granted, I'm not a big fan of this genre, but I've seen that trailer enough. No.
The movie itself doesn't look great.
No, the reviews are bad.
Is it?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I haven't been paying attention to those.
Yeah, so. I have not. I think it's like an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's bad.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Just food for thought. I don't know why there's not that many horror movies in October.
All right. Shall we...
Moving on.
Move on to the other and, I guess, final. Yeah, this is the final trailer.
Ooh, a 35 on Metacritic.
Oh, okay.
It's just looked it up.
It's stepping up. It's stepping up this game. Anyway, we'll move on to the ninth installment of the greatest franchise ever.
The longest trailer ever.
It was a long trailer.
Yeah. The
Fast and Furious... Fast Nine. Jesus.
Yes. Okay. Fast Saga.
Just from being the only person who watches these
religiously,
I was so checked out of this after the last like 2-3 movies.
Really?
I'm so back in.
Oh, God.
I don't know why. I do know why.
John Cena?
And it's not John Cena. It's... Han. It's Han.
Oh,
he comes back in the end. And for those of you who don't know, Han died at the end of Tokyo Drift. Apparently they make you think that way. How does he die? He gets in a car crash and then the car gets on fire and I'm pretty sure it explodes. I'm not entirely sure.
Of course I don't remember.
But then they like retconned it in like the sixth movie where
it's Statham
either kills him or is the one who crashed the car.
Right.
I have to rewatch them, which is not a chore for me.
I know they're out of order, which is odd.
Some of them are out. Yeah.
Like the third one.
So is this one supposed to take place then, I guess, before Tokyo Drift?
I don't know. I think it takes place after. So I think they're going to not retcon it in, but just say, oh, he didn't die.
He crawled away from the car before
it's going to be something like that. Yeah. Listen, it really is.
Mewtwo combined his body with Pikachu. And then he had to help his son solve his murder.
You guys all judge... Well, this franchise is just ludicrous, but in
it's not ludicrous.
Part of it.
It's very intended. But I can't wait for this. And I was texting with a friend of the show, Ryan. He was texting. He can't wait for this either. Just brain off, action on. That's it.
Now,
and granted, we've seen the whole movie in the trailer.
I feel like you were pretty excited for Hobbs and Shaw. How'd that work out?
It wasn't that good.
Yeah, so...
But it's... I'm not overly concerned. I don't know. I'm not concerned. Because this movie is going to make a couple $100 million anyway.
It's going to make almost $1 billion.
Yeah, it's not... This is... Something about these franchises just draw people in.
I don't get it.
Chris.
And it's me. I'm one of them.
No, Chris, I gotta say, every time I watch a Fast trailer... I always have the same experience, which is, why don't I watch these movies?
See? Did you watch the one where he moves a torpedo?
No, I have not. I've not watched the one where he pushes a torpedo.
In the next coming weeks when we're starting to do like the movie episodes, let's not do Fast and Furious, but I want Sam to watch the one movie where he pushes the torpedo, but with no other context of the whole movie. I want you to watch the entire thing.
Just that movie.
Just that movie, and see if you can piece together certain things.
Because I've always thought, like, I should do a running series of me watching each movie, and I review that movie every week.
You could. I'm not going to shun you.
Could we do that? I have, like, six of them.
Yeah. I'm up to doing that.
Wait, John, are you a fan of these, too?
I've seen the first one, and that's it.
Okay.
But so I own missing, six of them.
You own six, but you're missing three of them.
I was planning on, when I think seven came out, to watch all of them and then go see that, because, you know, people just sing the praises.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched the first one and didn't do any others. So.
Yeah, doesn't it get, like, crazy on, like, Fast Five or whatever?
For what, though? Like, crazy how?
Like
it shifts from...
Like, when it becomes, like, heist movies, pretty much, yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, it's...
Instead of street racing, it becomes more of a heist.
It becomes more of a heist, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be... Yeah, so that's where, I guess, it becomes more appealing to a wider audience.
Agreed, but the car... I think it's also... In the beginning, there was the Supra, and then all those, like... pea shooters, like the Honda Civics with the mufflers and everything that got changed. But I think it was the fourth movie where they actually started incorporating American muscle into it.
I don't think people care.
In classic cars.
I really don't think people care.
I bet you.
I guarantee
you. You look at those movies, and I bet you.
I don't.
That the amount of money that came in during that time increased exponentially more than the first.
Well, yeah,
I think it's three.
Once again, it's because they stopped focusing on street racing and focused on heist movies.
When movies go down, the longer they last.
I agree, but they made a shift in tone. And when they made that shift in tone, that's when they started finding success again.
I guarantee it could be, but it has nothing to do with the cars. More hardcore.
People don't care about cars. I mean, people care.
I care about the cars in these movies. I love the cars in these movies.
Yeah,
the whole point of this movie is to see crazy car stunts.
I think there is a section of the fan base
that's been with them from the beginning.
But like, you can't explain this level of popularity just on cars.
No. I'm not saying you.
Two thirds of the fan base at this point is just there for the crazy stunts and stuff.
Agree.
Yeah. No. I'm sure that's what the draw is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming. First reactions but, watching this trailer, a lot of car chases, obviously.
Like usual.
A lot of fights.
A lot of John Cena.
There was a lot of John Cena.
I think someone punched a car out of the air at some point.
There was a lot of people falling from tall places.
Yep.
A lot of people falling from tall places.
Lots of falling.
There was.
And a...
I just want to see the bridge scene where they drive off the cliff. I want to see what happens. I just want to see it. I just want to see,
What happens.
Just give me something interesting.
I want to see what happens.
There's also like needlessly stupid twists where it's like, he's just brother.
Oh, God. The way that line is delivered in this trailer. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's every Fast movie. I'm saying Fast now, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or ludicrous. every Fast movie has a family reveal in it. If I'm not mistaken, I think every single one does. So the last one was he has a kid with the girl from the other one.
Who has a kid?
Vin Diesel's character.
Okay.
Has a kid with not Letty, who's Michelle Rodriguez, but there was another love interest when Michelle Rodriguez was quote unquote dead.
Yeah.
And they had it. Yeah.
She come back with an eye patch.
No, it's the cars. Dude, it's the cars. The cars are what makes like it interesting.
With he cars.
Figured out this whole franchise, and he hasn't even seen one movie.
No.
Just watch. I bet you if you watch trailers. Okay, can we do this? Sam, watch the movies.
All right.
Sean, watch the trailers. Talk to me and see if you guys can come up with the plots. Explain the plots to me.
I'm going to be honest. Sure, he probably has an advantage.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same.
Because I'm going to be sitting there just like, why is Ludacris in this movie?
Anyway, I can't wait. The ridiculous Tyrese like summary, like voiceover summary of what's going on.
Oh, God.
I can't wait. Cannot wait. When is this? This is in the summer, right?
Yeah, probably.
What's the date?
End of May, I think.
I'm willing to start 9 weeks out.
I'm pretty sure it's end of May.
It has to be 10 because Hobbs and Shaw.
well, 10 weeks out and just watch all of these movies until we finally get to that, and then I will
you'll be getting close then. So March, April, yeah, you're gonna be close. You might have to start soon. Excuse me, March 1st.
I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to review one of these movies if somebody wants to do it with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I will do that.
Yes.
I am willing to do one of these movies each
week. Can we all do that? For this movie, Ryan's coming on. Yes, we're going to review this.
That's fine.
All right. We're going to call it the 10 Weeks of Furious.
10 Weeks of Furious.
Furious 10 Weeks.
This doesn't have to be. We could do a side episode, me and you, and just discuss this, or whoever watched it, I guess.
10 weeks, 10 Furious? I don't know.
No, the 10 Weeks of Furious. It sounds. It like rolls right off the tongue.
I know, but none of these titles roll off the tongue. That's
every
kind of
title
a joke.
Rolls off the tongue, Sean.
Too Fast, Too Furious. Fast Furious. Fast
the,
and the
fast
Furious.
Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious. Fast and the Furious.
Just give them numbers.
Fast 8, 5, 9, 7.
Just give them numbers. It's just so much easier.
And 10.
How much you want to bet? The next one's going to be Fast X.
Yes. Oh, my God, it will be. Let's do Fast X.
Triple X.
Just sounds like just a bad trip.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what is this?
And it's how Dom becomes Triple X.
Yeah.
Who's the... we still haven't seen... There is one thing in the Tokyo Drift movie. You still haven't seen the main character who always plays like the Southern Texas character. You know, have you seen Friday Night Lights?
No.
The QB. I don't remember his name. But he's the only guy who hasn't come back. Quote unquote come back. So I want that to happen. Really want that to happen. Anyway, can't wait for this movie.
Oh boy.
Moving on to the
What are we moving on to?
We'll do Oscar stuff last. So why don't we talk the Star Wars leaked footage?
All right.
You want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take that. So this was a test footage short produced by Rick McCallum, who was the producer on the original Star Wars trilogy. And George Lucas was also heavily involved. It was through HBO. They basically did this. And just to see how it looked, and then if it did well and they liked it, it was going to be greenlit for, you know, a pilot. And it just ended up being too costly to do. So it just kind of disappeared. And then last week sometime, it just randomly popped up on the internet as leaked footage. And if you watch it, it's about 10 minutes long. 5 of it is the actual test footage. And the other half is basically the making of in order. So it's them filming the entire episode in order, but behind the scenes stuff, you see the green screens and the extras and like how everything worked out. And the video quality, because it's so old, is not the best. It's a little fuzzy, if you guys noticed. Not sure if there's... I don't think there's any clear... Because it's, you know, leaked. It's not, none of it's going to be the very good. But all the behind the scenes stuff is actually what I liked the most of this whole thing. Like really watching how they filmed everything, how like with the, you know, the droid, the security droid in the sky, how like they filmed down and basically walking you through the entire process, I thought was pretty cool. But the actual test footage is pretty garbage.
Yeah, it's not spectacular. It's not good. Stormtroopers have the worst aim in the entire world.
And like the characters
you're in
are
a bodega.
Weird looking.
You're in a room that's half the size of this room, and you cannot hit somebody 2 feet in front of you.
Yeah, and he's and like there's that guy like hiding around the corner who's like not really around. He's like 10 feet away from these, not even 10 feet away from the stormtroopers, but hiding.
Yeah,
like, it's just. I mean, I understand it's just test footage. The sound. Like the audio isn't synced up correctly.
None of the quality is great.
No,
but that's not the point of why they filmed all this.
Right.
They wanted to see how cost efficient it would be to film a live action Star Wars TV show.
That relied heavily on CGI.
That would lead to the
cost. Because it's on Coruscant.
And apparently HBO said nope,
too costly,
too much.
And I don't blame them. I mean, part of me is like, oh, this might have been a good thing. Like, it could have gone somewhere. It would have been an interesting thing. Maybe it would have been so successful that Disney wouldn't have been able to afford Star Wars. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
do we think Star Wars is better off with Disney or without?
Without.
Okay.
Easily. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, it was a cool thing to watch, but I mean, watching it, I was like, no, I'm good, because it's just going to be a CGI mess that the prequels are.
The prequels, yeah.
Yeah, like, I had this strong feeling of, okay, why is this being leaked now?
Yeah, where, I think it's trying to
I think people are like, oh, look how good it used to be, yeah. And I'm just looking at this like, nah.
No, I don't think that was the intent to leak the footage. Look how good it used to be.
Well, it's kind of positive. It's kind of like any news is good news, but in this case, it's like any news that isn't about Rise of Skywalker is good news.
Deterrent for what the... Yeah,
because like we said last week, it feels like Disney is trying to pretend that Rise of Skywalker just never happened.
I feel like this is the fans, though. This is the fans being like, oh, look how good it used to be. Disney really totally screwed it up and blah, blah, blah. And well, I don't disagree with that. It's also just like, it feels like you're grasping at straws, yeah. Guys. Like, there's nothing here. There's nothing you could sink your teeth into.
No.
It's just, it looks like, okay, they were thinking about making a TV show. It didn't work out. And, like, there's nothing in this that makes me sit there and go, I want more.
You know what it does? Since this is test footage, it reminds me how bad the CGI was back then.
True, yeah.
Which could have been why it was so expensive, too.
Well, yeah, CGI is very expensive.
It's very brand new.
Even today, CGI is very expensive. It's actually more expensive to do CGI than it is to do practical, which makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're doing.
Well, yeah. But usually, for the most part, studios go with CGI because it costs... Because I don't know why. It doesn't cost less. It costs more. So, like, that's where the budget goes to. You can
do more with it.
Well, that's true. If you get a good CGI artist, that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is, like, these sci-fi original movies with, like, alligators and stuff, like giant alligators and whatnot.
Oh, please. When was the last time a sci-fi movie had an alligator?
Recently?
It's always a crocagator or an octopus.
No. They did...
Crocagator?
Yeah. Half crocodile, half alligator.
There is a difference, Sean. You should know that.
I know there is a difference, but it's just funny to think some mad scientist is like,
piranha.
We're going to combine the two instead of like...
chicken turkey.
Right.
Turkey gator.
But like... the
dude, I can write movies for sci-fi all day.
Oh, yeah. It's not hard. It's not hard.
Done.
You just
give me my paycheck.
Giant monster... Combine two creatures.
Turkey and an alligator. Fucking great.
And you release it on Thanksgiving. Boom.
Boom.
Oh, man. Yeah, so... Where's my mic?
Oh, can I...
He dropped the mic. But, Seb, you didn't watch the second half of the video, which is the, like, making of.
No.
Honestly, was the best part for me. Like, I really enjoyed that part.
That would be...
And it was better. It was better quality. Like the video quality was much better.
That would be like more of it's just interesting to see how they make these
things.
Yes. Not like I wish this was made.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I found like ESPN. If HBO was like, hey, we don't want to make this like because we spent all this money and it still looks like shit, I would totally agree.
Yeah.
I don't think it looked good at all.
No, it didn't. It looked like, you know,
it looked like it was Star Wars episode Power 2. Rangers or something.
Yeah, it was not good. I mean, oh well. I guess moving on.
They just have to wait around a little bit, and then the technology will be there, like what they did for the Mandarin. Mandalorian.
Yeah.
It only took, you know, 20 years, so.
Yeah, no, it is funny because I was going to say, wouldn't it be funny if ESPN did have a Star Wars thing? But then again, you look at how the way things fell, technically, they could.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
It's just really funny.
ESPN
is owned by Disney.
Oh, but what would it be?
No. It was meant to be like a joke type thing, but it just turned out it really could.
Yeah.
If ESPN really goes, you know, tits up.
Like more than it is now?
I guess so. They keep showing basketball all the time. Yeah, it's going to go.
Hey,
it's,
all I care about is what Kobe ate for, not Kobe, LeBron ate for breakfast. Because that's all they seem to talk about is LeBron James.
Yeah. I like my bobblehead Stephen A.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. They're so bad.
I know. Anyway, speaking of bad, Sean and Sam watched something.
We did.
We Jellica watched it.
Let's dive into this
thing.
Was it the original or was it the re-release?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was she wearing a jacket instead of the actual suit? If you haven't figured
it out, Sam and I just recently, as in a couple hours ago, watched the movie Cats. Alcohol was involved.
Let me open another beer.
Sam, that's a lot for you. All right,
so to give you an idea about this movie, it is a musical. There is a lot of singing. There is a lot of dancing.
It is almost an opera, I would put.
Close. Almost. Close to an opera, because there's definitely more singing than there is speaking.
Yeah. It's almost every line. I'd say probably 80% of all the lines are saying.
Yeah. And most of the story, I guess, story is progressed through song, too.
Story is strong.
I know. That is a very strong word. I was trying to think of another way to put it.
Events?
Plot? No. So stuff happened. So it starts with the main character named Victoria being thrown out of down a flight of stairs by her previous owner in a sack. And all these cats show up looking like monkeys, I swear, because they got human hands, human faces, and a tail.
Listen, guys, before we get into this, I've seen things you people would never believe.
That's a good way to kind of summarize this movie. The choice that they went to have them walking around on all fours with the big tails and what...
Wait, like, they're walking around on all fours?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of
when they're
like
not dancing.
Half the time they're walking around on fours, half the time they're crawling around.
Yeah, it's
so all the actors and actresses are
ass up.
Oh yeah,
like
ass up.
Wandering around, which makes them look like a troop of monkeys because they've got the long thin tail, they got a human face, and you can obviously
see five fingers
on each hand.
Can't imagine Tay-Tay doesn't have her back like arching up.
We'll get to Tay-Tay.
We'll get to Tay-Tay.
So it opens with the Jellicle Cat song, which introduces to you to what the Jellicle Cats are. Go ahead, ask me what the Jellicle Cats are.
I'm not going to because I don't care.
No, because see, I heard this song years ago, and then it came up at work, and everybody along the way has gone, "What the hell's a Jellicle Cat?" And I'm like, "Yeah, what is a Jellicle Cat?" Because so I looked it up. I was very disappointed. So a Jellicle Cat is a fictitious breed of cat literally made up for this play.
Okay.
And trust me when I say you hear the word Jellicle at least 1,000 times in this movie.
Which is why I've been saying Jellicle as an adverb this entire time, because that's what they do.
It's almost Smurf level. Like, it's so bad.
Because the moon is a Jellicle moon.
Yeah.
They're going to the Jellicle ball. I'm pretty sure they were like, "We eat Jellicle food."
Oh my goodness!
So
can we please?
This movie feels like a Jellicle nightmare.
So they explain. So they're like, so they go, "What's your name?" And the main character goes, "Victoria." And they're like, "No, every cat has a different name. You need to figure out that." Hey, look, some music and stuff. Let's go follow this. And you never find out her other name, man.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's like a whole musical thing about them being like, "You have a second name." And they never get into it.
No, they say they have three names.
Oh, yeah, three names. There's the one that the humans call you and then like two others.
Yeah, and then that's never brought up again.
Never again.
And Mick Gingivitis or whatever his name is.
McCavity.
Idris Elba is some kind of devil death kind of thing,
but not.
We were rooting for him as death because he started like disapparating a bunch of people,
like Rebel Wilson, boom, dead. I was like, oh, I'm kind of into this. And then James Corbin, boom, dead. I'm like, I'm rooting
Wait,
for this
what?
Guy.
He's just
yeah. He's like goes up and then psh, they're gone.
Yeah, they just, so just
James Corbin and Rebel Wilson
really quickly. Early, they did their songs and then they were gone, which is literally how this movie goes. There's a song, then Idris Elba basically kills him until you find out he's just storing them on a barge, and that's when he lost me. Because if you're gonna kill him, kill him.
Storing them on a barge?
Yeah, there's like a random barge.
It's a barge on the Thames?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, right? Now imagine all of this to the worst CGI you've ever seen. Like, Steppenwolf from Justice League was rendered better than this movie.
Sean, can we be honest?
Yes.
The worst part, and probably the most entertaining part, was when Idris Elba decided to teleport himself. But in order to engage in this teleportation, he had to go... Meow!
And he does it like 10 times in the movie.
Just imagine Idris Elba as he's disappearing going, meow!
Oh, man.
So anyways, Tay-Tay.
Dude, we're going to have some big stars at the Razzies this year.
Oh, God, yeah. So they're like getting ready for the ball. They're like, it seems like the movie is winding down. And I look at Sam and I go, Sam? He's like, what? I'm like, we haven't seen Taylor Swift yet, have we? He's like, no. We're like, hour and 20 minutes into this movie.
By the way, an hour and 20 minutes into this movie, and for the first time ever, our main character kind of explains who the hell she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And her explanation is, well, I'm lonely and I want people to love me.
Yeah.
Which is something I already figured out.
An hour and 20 minutes ago when she got thrown down the stairs.
Yeah.
So Tay-Tay shows up for all of about 2.5 minutes.
She's got what I can only assume is catnip, even though the bottle was labeled catnip.
But it was all glammy and had all the rhinestones all over.
And she starts spraying it and starts talking about another character, which means, well, Mick plaque buildup or whatever his name is. She starts singing about him, and I'm just sitting there going, who the hell are you? Which is 90% of my experience with this movie, which is, who the hell are you?
Because each song is about 2.5 minutes, like a normal song. Every time that happens, they introduce a new character. Now imagine, by the sixth time this happens in this movie, there's a lot of characters that you really don't know much about. And as I told Sam, there's two Calico Cats. Mungo Jerry and Rumple Teaser. Only reason I know them is because their song got stuck in my head a couple days ago and I listened to it like 5 times, their song. So then they show up towards the end and they're kind of bad, I guess, but they're also joined by a third cat wearing a beret who is given a name that you've never seen before, who's also a bad cat, and then that's the last you see of her. This movie is so batshit crazy. I don't understand how anybody made this movie.
Well, it's a play.
I can't see this. You know, like, as a play, I can see this working. The way they did this as a movie and the choices and even the music. For some reason, there's like techno beats in the background to some of the songs that just don't fit in. The opening music when she gets like thrown down the stairs, it sounds like a children's circus song that you can find for free in like a free media thing. Like, it's bad. Everything about this thing is bad.
You might say
bad.
It's Jellico bad.
Yeah. Like, the one scene that really like noticeably was bad was the train station scene when they're dancing on railroad tracks.
With Mario.
With Mario Cat. He's wearing a red hat and big red suspenders. You can see the black outline around the characters from where the green screen ends and the character begins. Mm. It's so bad. Like, we're talking like 40 years ago green screen bad.
Like, everything is so underexplained and like just confusing, and like, as I was saying, like, there's this character who's kind of guiding the main character who I just ended up calling Vigil. What's his name? From Dante's Inferno. Is it Vigil?
No, I forget.
Clarence?
Well, the guide.
That's It's a Wonderful Life. Sorry.
Oh, Clarence. Oh, yeah.
The guide through hell.
Yeah.
I just, he Virgil? Was our guide through
Virgil?
Hell. Virgil, that's it. I knew it was a V. I was like, I just started calling him that. I have no idea what that character's name was.
Yeah, they never he's
one of
he's
them
in there a
Rum Tum Tigger.
Rum Tum Tugger is who's Rum Tum?
Oh, that's Jason Derulo.
Yes, yes.
Which I have to agree with Jason Derulo. His penis would have livened up this whole thing. Because according to him, they digitally edited his penis. Yeah. Which, like, if they'd left his penis in, I would have enjoyed this a bit more.
All right.
And, like, here's the thing. You mentioned, like, Taylor Swift, like, kind of arching her back a bit. If they sexualized Taylor Swift a little bit more, maybe a little more entertaining. I can't believe I said that.
It was kind of borderline. Like, because her song is very sexualized. Right? Like,
but here's the thing. It's like, they're with cats.
Yeah, oh, I know that. I know that.
Yeah, that's what makes it so hot.
Yeah, right? No, like, her, but the way she sings where she, like, slips in that British accent for some reason.
Oh, yeah, like Jason Derulo and Taylor Swift, I don't know why they just didn't turn to him and be like, listen, while you're singing, don't do the English accent.
Yeah.
Just sing.
So, like, do you guys think, like, furries would get off of this movie? Or yes. Is that poorly done?
100%. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Because there's even a part, so you've seen from the trailers, you know, Idris Elba with the hat and the jacket and whatnot. At the end of the movie, he loses the hat, he loses the jacket. He's basically Idris Elba in the nude.
Oh, yeah. Solid nude.
Yeah. Like, right. I would be like, yeah, that's probably
what
it is.
Somehow disturbingly desexualized.
Yes. Yeah. It's, ugh.
It's like, okay, honestly, if you showed me his penis, this would be less disturbing.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's,
well,
luckily, we get to review this, Sam. Let's give it a number.
Hey, you're bringing down the average now, Sam.
Oh, my God. Are we bringing down this average?
I forgot I had to actually give this a score. Yeah. What the hell am I going to give it?
8.2.
For the entertainment value.
For the naked Idris Elba.
Like, I think the biggest abomination of this movie is the amount of talent that was in this movie.
Wasted
acting,
talent.
Dancing, and singing talent.
Yes.
Like, clearly all the backups, dancers and the main character are all amazing dancers.
Oh, yeah.
And yet they were like, no, dance like a cat. Where it like is just the ugliest and weirdest way you could dance.
You know what else we need? More cat puns.
Yeah.
Because yes, this movie is filled with cat
puns. Nothing but cat puns. Oh, we haven't even talked about the disturbing mice and cockroaches.
Oh my God. I forgot about that with Rebel Wilson. Oh my. Yeah,
well,
so
the mice are throughout this movie.
Yeah, but yeah, there's CGI'd cockroaches with human faces and CGI'd rats with human faces.
Imagine the three blind mice from Shrek, but somehow more human and far more disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, give it a rating. Give it a rating.
Go ahead, Sam.
I've limited us to 8 minutes for this.
Oh, that's fine.
2.5.
Generous. 1.8.
1.8.
I don't know how I came up with that, but that was just the sound that it was in my head.
Here's the thing. That's a lower rating than Boo 2, and that's because Boo 2 didn't feel like a nightmare.
Yeah, no, like, I 5 minutes into this movie, I was laughing because I was terrified. Yeah. I was like, what did I do? What have I done?
Did you see the box office for this thing?
What is it?
And, worldwide, 69.
No!
Yeah.
69,000 worldwide?
69 million.
Million.
Well, yeah, 69 million.
You're pulling a me.
Yeah.
69,000 is what you mean?
Yeah. Yes, 1,000. But like only that worldwide?
Mm-hmm.
I'd expect that, like, maybe statewide.
Domestic, it was 27.
Yeah.
Worldwide, it was 42 million.
Yeah, the world budget I think, was a million.
I don't know. The stupid box office mojo.
Oh, yeah, they changed it.
Oh, 95 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was around 100 million.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
They're taking a wash on this.
Sam, I easily think this is by far the worst movie you've reviewed this year. Yeah,
definitely.
Universal is not having luck this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam, your second worst movie you reviewed this year, I believe, is Rise of Skywalker.
I'd like to point out, guys, you didn't give a zero.
No, because it's a movie.
I gave Emoji Movie a zero.
I understand that, because that's technically an ad, not a movie, so I'll let it pass.
You don't think this is to go see a play?
No. No, this was them going, we're going to win all the Oscars. In fairness,
I didn't feel like they were trying to sell me something. No.
They're trying to sell an Oscar. They're hey, you might want to give us an Oscar.
This felt like the weirdest attempt at an Oscar ever.
Yes.
Where it was like, what are you doing?
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, speaking of Oscars, why don't we get into the Oscar corner?
All right.
Our weekly discussion leading up to the Oscars. So
get into our Gallico cat
Oscar corner. Wait. Can we get one other thing on cats?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's your guys' favorite musical?
Like, ever?
Yeah.
It's going to be the same.
Music Man.
Music Man.
Really?
Yes.
That's just a... It's great. Robert... What's his name? Persons?
Mitchum?
But, like, the main character in the...
Yeah, in the movie.
It's like Persons or Preston.
Yeah.
I think it's Robert Preston. He's just so goddamn charming in that.
Yeah.
And he plays the perfect con man.
Like, you don't have... Like... You should watch it, but if you've ever seen the monorail episode of The Simpsons, same thing.
Imagine that, like that, but somehow more like persuasive and charming.
Yeah, no, like
he's so great in that.
He is. He's a phenomenal.
Chris, do you have a favorite musical?
I don't like musicals.
You don't have a single one?
I've only seen, I want to say, three or four. I guess Rock of Ages, if I had to pick one.
That's sad.
That's a bad.
Wow. I don't like music. I don't
even know if we should do the podcast anymore.
I've seen Phantom of the Opera. That's a musical, right?
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera.
Is it Oklahoma? I don't.
Yeah.
Is it Oklahoma with the mixed race?
Oklahoma.
It was just in the
the mixed race. Just
in Watchmen.
Guy and girl. It might not be Oklahoma, then. It might be something different.
No, that's not Oklahoma.
I've seen that. It's about a guy who works for a radio show, but he tries to get on the radio by doing his own music and stuff like that. It's back in the day, like 60s. Mm. I forget what it was called, but I did see that. I guess I hate musicals.
Well,
I don't.
Here's the problem.
I've lived in New York City for five years, and I still
I understand can't. Why you hate musicals, because the ones you've chosen are not good.
Yeah.
I won't see any other ones.
I know.
I'm not going to see... Hamlet's one of the best, apparently. I won't go see it.
Hamlet is not a musical.
It's not a musical? All right, then there we go. I'm not going to see it.
Wait, what?
Because Hamlet's a play.
What?
It's a play. I mean, Hamilton.
Hamilton.
There you go.
Hamilton.
Hamlet is a play. Sorry, Hamilton.
Sorry, my mistake.
Well, there's going to be a movie now.
Hello, I do what?
The Book of Mormon, is that a musical?
Yes. That is a musical.
Yeah. Won't see it.
I've heard
it's not a movie musical, but
right.
Yeah,
right.
I've heard great things. I won't see it.
I would say mine is Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
I'm not a theater
that
goer.
That is good.
At
you
all. Uncultured swine.
Uncultured swine. I'll watch movies.
Just watch Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably
Music
the
Man
only
has
other
Buddy
time
Hackett in it, though. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't see
it.
I'm pretty sure I've seen the last play I'll ever see.
The Earl is hard to get.
Should we move on to Oscar Corner?
Please. I want to get off cats.
Okay. Anyway, so there's two things we're going to talk that we've seen, and we have just some takes on. Why don't we do American Factory, which is the documentary. It's up for Best Documentary. We'll do a few minutes on that because John actually saw it, and I have seen it as well. John, any particular takes on this? This is referred
to
as the Obama's documentary.
It's essentially I don't know how the film crew, I'm not entirely sure why they're involved, but it's this film crew essentially covering a factory in Dayton, Ohio that's been purchased by a Chinese auto glass maker, and it's just sort of talking about how among other things the pretty literal culture clash between the Chinese and Americans with respect to working environments and expectations from there. It's pretty crazy. I just found the whole thing kind of fascinating. It's close to 2 hours. I've seen all but the last 20 minutes, and you know, you kind of get a lot of stuff over and over again, but it's nice in so far as
the documentary kind of like lets everybody else talk, sort of thing. You know, like it can really tell the story on its own, and that's pretty much that. So, you know, essentially the Chinese come in and it's just a totally different like vibe between that and American workers, and it's pretty good though. It's Chris, what'd you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed how they showed the difference between the Chinese work culture versus the American work culture, and I think it's a really eye-opening documentary for some people who simply don't understand the idea of Chinese workforce, and I think that I think it's blown up even more, and it's way more eye-opening when you actually see these American people who worked at a GM plant go to China and see how they produce glass there. And it's just, they stand up, they get in roll call. They count off. They count off in roll call.
Right. It's like they're in the army, pretty much.
Yeah. And then it's just it's when the Chinese employees are actually talking amongst themselves that you really start to think, like, oh, well, the labor laws are very different in both countries, where, you know, Chinese people work 10 hours a day and they have 2 days off, maybe like a month.
Yeah.
And that includes weekends. And then they say, oh, well, in America, our employees have to work. They can only work eight hours a day. And they cannot work on the weekends. You know, the yada yada, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and you know, that's the way our culture operates usually, particularly with manufacturing. But it's just seeing the contrast. It's not dumbed down to the point, but it's just filmed in such a way where it's eye opening for it should be eye opening for a lot of people. I knew this before I watched the movie. I knew what the culture was like over there versus here, but I think for some people they just. This is one of those things where you just see it. And I think that was the point of this documentary. I don't think it was meant to give you kind of sympathy towards the factory worker or hatred towards a union
or the Chinese.
I don't think it was meant for that, because I came out of this thinking, well, what's the point of this? And I understand what it was, but it's just, I felt like there was a political statement at the end coming. It wasn't there, which is great. I applaud that, because you don't need it. But it's just...
I think somebody watching this is you know, going to make reach their own conclusions. Yeah, you know, I don't think you need to have the big, like, you know, here's why.
Yeah, do you think that was, like, kind of the point where it's like, we want you guys to stew on this and reach your own conclusions?
Yes. I think that's what it was.
And there's, you know, obviously a lot going on too. Like it's, you know, the Chinese have their own sort of way, and it's not as if like one is like inherently better. Although, you know, a lot of parts of their trip to China don't look especially appealing, I would say. In fact, almost
propaganda dance routines and stuff.
Yeah, the part I really enjoyed was when he's talking to the like head of the like the Chinese union, and you're like, wait, they have unions in China? And it's like, oh yeah, they're communists, so you know, workers of the world unite, right?
Yeah.
So it's like he's got like all these titles when like they introduce him, and it's like, you know, head of the union, first secretary of the Communist Party for whatever, you know, town or whatever it's in. And it's like, brother-in-law of the chairman, who's the, you know, owner, CEO, whatever, chairman of the company. So it's like, the head of the union is like the guy who runs the company's like brother-in-law. So, you know.
No conflict of interest there.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, just kind of how things roll, and, you know, they have the murals to all five Chinese. What's the actual name? Is it president? Premier?
It's chairman or premier. It's one of the.
You know, all their leaders from Mao to
Xi Jinping. And I mean, you realize it's like literally, it's like, oh yeah, well the government, you know, just like backed this guy, so that's why he's like, you know, worth probably, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not maybe billions. Mm-hmm. Because I think they said they're like 70% of the like worldwide market or whatever.
Who is this? The Fuya CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a billion. He's a billionaire.
Yeah, and then I love like when they show his office and he has all these like very like Chairman Mao like propaganda like murals or paintings of him. Yeah, but you know, I mean,
right, that's right. I forgot about that.
He does come off great, but it's not like he's
so out of touch,
really unsympathetic either. I think he's like, well, this is how I run my business here. Why isn't it working in America?
Yeah, you know what? You know what I think was really interesting and kind of comical is when he shows up to the plant to visit for the first time. He's complaining that, you know, the fire alarm shouldn't be where it's supposed to be.
Right.
He goes, oh, well, you should have thought of this when you were building the place. And he goes, it should be off to the... It's centered on the wall, but it should be off to the side so you can put... stuff right. on the wall,
like you wanted to hide it under like a shelf or something.
Yeah, and then he goes, this garage shouldn't be facing this way because of feng shui or something. It needs to face the other way. And then you see it here, the CEO or the guy of the plant say it's gonna cost $32,000 to move the door, and then they just spent that money to move the door.
Right.
And it's I also think it's just
Well, then you have, like, Sherrod Brown coming in for the opening and, like, talking about, like, you know, how he supports the, you know, workers' rights to unionize. And then the guy who's, like, the... And this is... It's weird. Like, early on, you think it's going to be almost more slapstick or whatever than it actually turned into. But the guy, the, like, American president of the, you know, American division's all like, oh, God. Oh, God, why did he say that? I'm going to be so fucking, you know, humiliated in front of the chairman. Which, they always call him the chairman, which I think is just badass.
No, but that's, I think that was kind of the pivot point that the directors tried to make, is that speech.
Right.
That's what it was, and it tried to make you sympathize.
Well, it's just how he's reacting to it, too, of, like gritting through his teeth, being like, I'm so screwed.
Yeah, right? He's like, I didn't know he was going to say that. So, but
what did you think of? So, like, one of my favorite moments that just like comes out of left field is when like they're watching the talent show in China, and one of the guys just has to like leave the room to like cry at the joy of like the human condition.
Yeah, I thought it was Jesus. It was so ridiculous.
Like, I thought it was the sort of thing where like his wife had died or something like that, and it's like you get back to him, he's like, "Man, we're all just one big planet."
I don't.
It's just like, it's, you know, they like meet with the Chinese and they talk about how, you know, at one point they talk about how Americans like don't care about their appearance or something like that. And it's like all the Chinese people are all in like, you know, suits or very, you know, professional attire. And like all the supervisors that the American supervisors who came over, like one guy's wearing like a Spider-Man t-shirt or something like.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. He showed up to the board meeting wearing a t-shirt. I think it was Jaws. I think it was a Jaws t-shirt.
Yeah, it was Jaws. It was Jaws. You're right.
I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah, but I think, you know.
But it shows the discrepancy.
Right.
It shows the discrepancy. That's what
and,
it is.
And there couldn't be more of like a middle America place than Dayton. Like all these, like all the people are just looked, you know, I don't want to say authentic because I don't know what that means, but you know, it was everybody kind of played the part for sure.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen any of the other documentaries, so I got no idea. But this, considering like I feel like I sort of knew the, you know, things that were going on, how, you know, obviously, you know, the Chinese work culture is going to be significantly different than ours. But I just found the whole thing fascinating, which just on a very basic level is really all you ever want with a documentary.
Yeah, and it was filmed really well. You can really screw up a documentary if it's not used on good,
right,
good film or with a good camera. So I think it was well
done. I still can't believe they had all this access.
Right? I think it was really weird how they kept flying in the helicopters with the CEO and flying to China with all of them.
You can probably chalk that up to also the culture difference, where they think, oh, this is going to play off bad.
Oh, well, I don't think that's what anybody was really trying to go for. I think it's more of a, I'm more shocked that the CEO of China would actually let these people film constantly.
Yeah, but it also might be just one of those things where he was just like, oh, even if I say something bad, they'll edit that out.
Right, yeah. At one point, they talk about, you know, differences. You know, they have all the Chinese sort of supervisors who are over here trying to get everything up and running. And they talk about, you know, the differences between American and Chinese culture. And it's like, yeah, you can make fun of the president here.
Yeah. No, they were saying,
how crazy is that?
In one of their like briefings, moving to the country, I think it was even better when the CEO only spoke Mandarin. Yeah. He only spoke Mandarin, and at his board, I think it was like the first board meeting with the senior VPs in the U.S. He's not a blunt speaker, but the translation is very to the point. Mm-hmm. We will never have unions in this company, and then the lawyer who translates for him is translating and says, we feel that unions don't progress the company further. She was trying to like make it nice, so that way, trying to make it
legal,
I guess, in a way. Well, no, I mean, technically, he can say we will never have unions, but it's just the way and she did it throughout the whole documentary. Yeah. This translator always, and I think it was her lawyer, cleaned everything up that he said. In such a way that it was presented as a, like more of a slap than a, you know, an uppercut. it was just hilarious. Or at least, I don't know if it was supposed to be, but I found it wicked funny. So, but it's up. This is up for best documentary. I think it's the front runner. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't seen any other ones.
It's the only one I've heard buzz about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might, it may be. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. So staying in the Oscar corner, do you guys want to do Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah, I can talk some Jojo.
John.
All right. Yeah, so I saw Jojo Rabbit last night. Sam had seen it in theaters previously. I think this was the last Oscar movie we really never talked about, like, in depth. So I figured give it a little bit of a whirl. So it's about a boy living in Nazi Germany during World War II who has an imaginary friend that is essentially Hitler.
Well, he's Hitler.
Yeah, he's Hitler. I mean, not the Hitler, but he's a Hitler.
Yeah, he's what the kid imagines Hitler to be.
And, you know, the kid is very enthusiastic about being a Nazi in all the ways, you know, that a 10-year-old probably would be you know, has no idea about anything else.
Yeah.
But just, you know, sees a bunch of guys in cool uniforms. And, you know, he goes from essentially being very gung-ho to having a sort of tragic accident where a grenade goes off and scars his face, to finding out that actually his mom is very much not at all a fan of the Nazis and actually harboring a young Jewish girl in his attic.
Mm.
And, well, as you can imagine, there's some tension from there. also, this movie's a comedy.
Yeah. This is definitely a straight comedy.
Yeah.
It has definitely some dramatic moments in it, but it's a straight comedy. I'm leaning maybe a little into the dramedy moment kind of genre, but I probably describe this as a comedy first.
Yeah, I mean, it's a comedy that has its share of heavy moments.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of which, you know, I guess overall, I found parts of this movie to be effective and just really well done. But I think on the whole, a lot of the humor just kind of seemed a little stale to me. And I think I never really understood not necessarily what it was trying to say, because I think some of this is like, well, yeah, I've heard it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, you know, naive slash brainwashed child who learns that the person who is, you know, supposed to be the other in society actually is a lot like us and, you know, is totally fine and normal. Obviously set up in the backdrop of World War II on top of all this, but yeah, I don't know. I felt like at times it just wasn't like that funny, or at the very least I didn't exactly find it funny. And yeah, it just didn't work for me, I guess.
I will say I really enjoyed this movie, but I will say it felt shallow at times.
Yeah.
Where it's like it just didn't delve too deep into anything.
Right. Look at the Nazis, which, I mean, fine.
Which
I've had that before.
Part of this is like, yeah, I mean, this is a story. You're basically being shown Nazi Germany from the perspective of 10-year-old. You're not going to get like Schindler's List level of like drama and detail. You know, he's going to view Nazi Germany with a child's eye, so with some innocence. But I think at times it also felt like we just weren't delving too deep into anything.
Yeah, like, I mean, his relationship, and I can't think of the girl's name, the Jewish girl that lives that, you know, they're protecting. You know, there's a sort of like vague-ish like love story between the two of them, maybe.
I actually kind of enjoyed that, where it's like he's clearly falling in love with her, but she's also like twice his age. So she's just views him as like a little kid and a little brother at the end. So I actually kind of enjoyed that like discrepancy, where it's like, yeah, I can actually see that happening, where.
You know? I guess that is very much like a 10-year-old boy to like fall in love with like a 17-year-old girl or whatever. Yeah, you know? like
the only girl who's actually showing him attention other than his mother.
Right. Yeah. Very much so. And actually, I didn't even realize that actress is like 19, 20 years old. Like that's like seemed way older than or was way older than I thought. Yeah, I just, you know, there's some weird things. Like, I think there's some really good casting. Like, Stephen Merchant as a Gestapo agent was like so on point. Yeah. But the you know, like they'll have the jokes where it's like everyone's gonna like Heil Hitler, everybody, yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of funny. But I've also like I've seen that before too.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the jokes kind of worked, especially with Taika as Hitler. I thought he was great as Hitler.
I liked it, but it did feel like a little like superfluous to me. Like I don't really understand how the movie's any different if he's not in it. Look, it's a comedy. Like you want more jokes, and like what better way than doing that? But
I mean, I felt it as like he kind of represents. The kid's internal conflict, where he wants to remain loyal to the Nazi regime, and Hitler kind of represents that.
Right.
Where it's like he's experiencing these feelings with this girl and seeing her as, you know, normal and nice, and eventually falling in love with him. And like he starts off as like his best friend. And as the story goes on, he grows more and more distant. I mean, there's that I thought was a hilarious moment where they're kind of struggling to get food. And he's just eating at the table and he looks up and there's Hitler eating a unicorn.
Yeah, I did like that one.
But, it's just like that growing distance between the two of them as like he's growing distant from his old childhood dream of being a good Nazi.
Well, you know, there's a very pivotal moment, which I don't want to spoil,
where, you know, something happens to a significant part of the story.
Which is a real gut punch, but...
Tell me about it. and I think it's done well, but, like, maybe just for me, like, everything that follows doesn't seem to make sense. Like, I don't understand how that could happen, and then... And I know this isn't great if you haven't actually seen the movie, but you know, something big happens to a major character, and it's like, I don't understand why he would react that way of just going on like nothing happened almost.
Well, what choice does he have at that point?
I guess.
I mean, he's got to keep going. So, I think he was underdeveloped, but I kind of like Sam Rockwell's character.
Okay. I would agree with you, he's underdeveloped. Yeah. And I think Sam Rockwell's performance was good. I just didn't necessarily see the... Well, not the point, but I don't understand why he did anything he did. Like, I had no idea, like, what was motivating that character.
I mean, my whole vibe was he's just a cynical soldier who's just given up on all hope and is just like... Who cares about anything the Nazis are talking about? It's right. Just survival at this point.
Right. They'll be gone and they'll just be someone else after them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I buy that. Also,
but
I don't
know. It was definitely underdeveloped. I think they should have spent a little bit more time with him.
And I mean, if he's underdeveloped, then what do you even call, what's his name? The guy from Game of Thrones, Alfie, whatever. Oh, yeah.
Like, I really, his whole character, I always felt like I was watching a movie with, like, a whole bunch of scenes cut out.
Yeah, because, like, is he, like, that screwed for work? That, like, he's gonna just go be, like, the guy who shows up next to Sam Rockwell and has, like, two lines?
My whole feeling was he, in some other edit of the movie, him and Sam Rockwell were supposed to have some implied homoerotic relationship.
Okay, cool. I'm glad I wasn't the only one picking
like,
that up.
Like I felt,
especially
that,
when they come out in, like, the capes later.
Yeah. I felt that, and I felt maybe it got cut because they were like, it feels like we're making fun of
maybe
gay
that's
people.
Too much at that point.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, oh, we're just making fun of gay people at this point, which would come off as bad as a you know, we're trying to make fun of Nazis, and here we are making fun of gay people.
Right.
So maybe that just didn't play off as well.
Yeah. I'll say, on top of that, too, like I said, I like Sam Rockwell, but I thought all three, you know, I guess the other one's not a child, but all three young actors in this, the, you know, Jojo, his friend, was his friend Archie, or is that his actual?
Yeah,
no.
I think it's like Archie.
Yeah, I thought they were both great. I thought the girl was great. Mm. The one thing, though, I'm kind of surprised that Scarlett Johansson role is, like, nominated.
Yeah, I'm a little
like,
surprised.
It didn't really strike me as that powerful.
Yeah, it was good, but I don't know if, like, it was not a standout performance.
Yeah, and, you know, her arc as a character, too, like, it just... I don't know. I don't want to get too detailed into it. But, yeah, it's almost like she doesn't have much going on in the movie. And then, like, I'd almost rather have, like, Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate and Once Upon a Time over that for supporting. You know, like, even though the other one doesn't really even have much for lines. But, I mean, also, I came to the realization the other day that the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Parasite is, like, the same story, except the opposite.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I can see that.
Ooh, shit. Do you guys?
It's just a bunch of poor people going to try to kill rich people.
Do you guys want to bump this out a rating here?
I already gave it a rating. I think I gave it something like a 9. I really enjoyed this movie, but like I will fully admit there is weaknesses in it, which is why I was like a little surprised you got nominated for Best Picture.
It is. I think it's definitely like one of the weaker ones, and you know, like as we've been saying, I think it's been a pretty strong year for movies. Yeah. So,
but by all means, I don't think like a weaker year. Yeah, I can see this getting nominated, but by all means, I'm not saying like this is a bad movie at all. I think this is a solidly enjoyable movie.
Yeah, I don't regret seeing it, but I'm giving it a 7.3. It just kind of meh on it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, wrapping up the Oscars corner. Is there anything you guys want to see happen at the Oscars? Whether it be awards, whether it be speeches, or
yeah, I just want to see Parasite get Best Picture.
You know, honestly, like at this point, I'm kind of leaning towards that.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Whereas, like, honestly, Parasite over Joker.
Yeah, I don't want Joker to win Best Picture.
I've got mixed feelings about Joker. I don't
want to
see
Only want Joker to win maybe one or two.
I think it's only going to win, like, Joaquin Phoenix and then maybe, like, makeup or the score or something. Like, I don't think it's really going to do much on 11 nominations, which I guess isn't the worst problem to have, but... yeah, definitely not indicative, I think, overall of the quality or its chances to win most of the awards.
And maybe Lighthouse winning best, was it original or adapted?
No, cinematography.
Oh, it's cinematography. I thought it was screenplay.
Yeah, which it has no chance at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you guys don't want?
It's a show.
We just said Joker.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's what it is. I'm sorry. I'm trying to come up with the next.
Yeah.
So I don't want Star Wars to win anything.
It's not going to.
Even with John Williams and his score. It's not going to.
Yeah.
I know. But, well, I would hope not. I would hope not, because he's up for score and visual for some reason.
The visuals weren't bad in that movie.
No, they're not. They're not bad, but Endgame, Irishman, Lion King in 1917.
I would hope.
I don't want
Endgame on that one.
I don't want Rise of Skywalker to be advertised as
an Oscar award,
like just Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Oscar I was gonna say just winning. Like Suicide Squad is Oscar award.
Yeah,
winning.
I don't want that.
No, I don't. I agree.
So, well, I guess or politics. Don't bring politics into it either.
But it's the Oscars.
It's the Oscars.
It's gonna happen.
They're gonna do it classy and just say the president instead of Trump. So. Anyway, any other comments, questions, concerns?
No.
Nope.
Oscars next week, people. I think this weekend Sean and Sam are doing their...
Maybe Friday?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Their Oscar... what is it?
Oscar special.
Oscar special. Sorry. I don't know if me and John will be attending, but... I don't know if John or I will be attending, but...
That's fine.
These guys will be banging that out. Anyway, Oscars next week. That's probably what we're going to talk about the most. And then we'll figure it out. Sam, March 22nd. That's when you need to start watching...
March 22nd, is that 10 weeks out?
That's 10 weeks out.
Okay, I will probably jump in on that.
Right. Stay tuned for that.
All right, everyone. That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye. Adios. Sorry, Jellicoe bye.